Hilchos Gvias Milveh. Now we come to a new chapter, the laws about collecting a loan. We'll have four halachas on this. Osur likones lebeis haloive likach avoitoi. The Shulchan Aruch says a lender is forbidden to enter into the home of the borrower to take collateral. Here in Israel, we have something called hotzoa lapoal, where if a person chas v'shalom lo aleinu owes money, he owes money to the government, a government agency or something like that, or a phone bill, you know, he owes something, a piece of money that he's not paying, and he's been warned that he pay up it and he ignores it, it's turned over to a government agency called hotzoa lapoal, and they come to the person's house banging on the person's door, and they can come into the house and grab whatever they see that's of value, a refrigerator, a couch, you know, anything they want. Obviously, it's one of the most horrifying experiences, chas v'shalom lo aleinu, that a person could go through. The embarrassment, that invasion, somebody coming into your house like that and taking what they want, that kind of thing. Hashem should protect us, that we should never be in, we should always be in a position to help others, never have to come on to anybody for any loans, and again, never to have outstanding bills. This is an opportunity maybe to share. My Rebbe, Zichron Avraham, Rav Rosenfeld, was an example, like all Talmidei Chachamim, are examples of how to live well. Most people have utility bills, phone bill, gas bill, electric bill, some of the basic things, varabayit you have here in Israel. And many people, unfortunately, even among us, wait till somebody comes out. How come you didn't pay? You're supposed to pay on this day of the month. They won't pay it on time. They'll wait till 5 days later till a person, how come you're not paying? How come you didn't pay? Oh, I forgot. Oh, I, you know. Or if you're lucky, the best is, you know, that they'll pay it on time. Rav Rosenfeld, besides not wanting to owe anybody a penny for a day, didn't want to waste the time, didn't want to spend the time of paying utility bills on a monthly basis. You have to fill out the, and again, you didn't have to go to bank. You're just filling it out, putting it in the envelope, putting a stamp on it, sending it back. So he would send, let's say his monthly bill with the phone company was $50. He would send them $250 or $300. And every month he would get a bill as to how much they owe him. Your balance today is $250. You have a credit of $250 by us. This was the phone bill, the gas bill, all of these bills. And again, the difference, the human nature, you get a bill in the mail, it's not so comfortable. Nobody likes getting bills, and nobody likes having to pay bills. So again, if you have a choice of doing that monthly, or twice a year, or once a year, use a little bit. But what do you mean? I don't want them holding on to my money. What? He wouldn't do this with Stama person. But if we're talking about the phone company, you know, Bell Tele, you know, in those days there was only one phone company, you know, in the United States, pretty, you know, so it was a case where you didn't have to worry about trusting them that they keep records, this, that. That feeling that I don't owe anybody, nobody sends me a bill, I don't owe anybody money monthly. If I have the money, I want to be ahead of the game. I always want to be ahead. I never want to have, I don't want to be in debt to anybody if I don't have to. And here again, a person borrows money for 30 days, for 2 months. If they have the money on time, there are some people, no, I'll keep it in my pocket. Well, I'm saying, I don't have to pay it yet. It's not the time yet. It's not the time, it's sitting on your head. You are in debt versus unloading the debt as quick as possible. A person lives without debt, their body and soul are freer. Person can learn Torah better. Person can live knowing no bill. Person gets a bill in the mail, he throws it in the garbage. He knows, I don't owe them, I'm ahead. For another 6 months, I don't have to worry about me owing them money. They owe me money. That kind of a, this is a concept Rabbeinu Zal once said, abissel gelebt und schen gelebt. That a Jew, even if a Jew lives a little bit, but live nice. It's a concept of living nice. There are billionaires that don't do that, that can't afford that. They can't do such a thing. They can't give anybody money before they owe it to them. They'll die from it. And here, this person who was the furthest thing from rich, he wasn't rich at all, but $250 wouldn't break him or that kind of thing, he wanted to know he's ahead of the game. They're not sending me bills. I don't have to think about paying bills on a monthly basis. That weight on a person's shoulders, that kind of thing. Rav Nosson Zal says, Al pi ha-maimar shel gzela, this halacha will be based on chapter 69 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses the topic of stealing, the topic of money in general, and how it relates to one's wife and children, especially. Ayin Shom Heitev, study that chapter well as an introduction. V'haklal, basically what Rabbeinu Zal says there is, Shekol hanefoshois shoroshom ba'ashirus, that all souls are rooted in wealth. We know that the Gemara tells us, Sifrei Kabbalah tells us, that the souls come from the throne of Hashem, the Kisei HaKovoid it's called, the throne of glory, of honor of Hashem. Kovoid is synonymous with money. We say it every day, V'ho'osher v'ha'kovoid milfonecha, wealth and honor. The Gemara says, Rebbe mechabed ashirim, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi showed respect to wealthy people. Wealth is something that draws respect. Wealth is synonymous with respect. So we talk about the Kisei HaKovoid. The Kisei HaKovoid is a symbol of Ashirus. And the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus tell us that the souls are rooted in Kovoid. They are rooted in Ashirus. V'alkein, Iker Ho Ashirus Alidei Bechinas Ho'isha. And that's why the main wealth of a family is dependent on the woman, the wife. Shehi bechinas nefesh. She is referred to as the nefesh. Shesharosha. When we speak about the soul, there's all kinds of different terminology that's used. Some of the most basic terms that are used about the soul are the terms nefesh, ruach, neshama. Nefesh is referred to as the lowest part of the soul. Ruach is sort of intermediate. Neshama is like the highest term, one of the highest terms referring to the soul. The wife is referred to as the nefesh. She represents the lower aspect of this spirituality. So we said before, the nefoshois are rooted in ashirus, and the nefesh is the wife. So the ashirus is dependent on the wife. Shesharosha v'chiyuso al yedei ashirus. She is rooted in, and she draws her life from ashirus. V'alkein ha-goizeles chaveiroi ke'ilu noiteles nafshoi. And that's why the Gemara uses the wording that if a person steals from somebody, it's as if he took his nefesh. Again, nefesh means the wife here. Nefesh means the soul. But this particular part of the soul. And in that chapter in Likutei Moran, in Torah Samach Tes, Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this tremendously. He brings the Gemaras and the Sifrei Kabbalah to really clarify exactly how this works, how a person receives money and Shefa via the wife, how the children are related to it, the whole concept of inheritance. That whole topic is very, very much elaborated on in chapter 69 in Likutei Moran. Ve'isa Shom, Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, Shelefa'omim ha'gazlan einoi noiteles nafshoi afal pi shegzoloi momoim. That sometimes, even if a person will steal money from somebody, he will not be stealing the soul. Why? Ki kishah nefesh royo shezeh ha'gazlan oimed l'gozloi. Because when the nefesh sees that it's about to be attacked, that this man is, that somebody's about to steal from him, velikach eschius nafshoi, and thereby take away some of the life of the nefesh, azai hanefesh mitzamtzemes umekavetzes atzma, then the nefesh shrinks itself, lahavdil, like a turtle. If a turtle ever feels it's under attack, what does it do? It ducks. It puts its head under the hard covering to protect itself. It puts its head and feet under the hard covering. It shrinks itself, in a sense, to protect itself. Here also, lahavdol, the nefesh, sometimes, when it sees that it's under attack, that somebody's about to steal from them, the nefesh shrinks itself, ve'eino manachas likachoisa, and doesn't allow itself to be taken. V'af shelokeach mamoinoi, and therefore, even though the thief steals some of the money of that person, ein boi shum chiyus hanefesh. The spiritual life of that money, the nefesh that was connected to that money, is not there. It disconnected. It made a disconnect right before this person took the money. V'hu rak afra bi'alma. And therefore, that money now is like dirt. It doesn't have any chiyus in it. It doesn't have the sparkle in it. It doesn't have the spirituality in it, because the spirituality, the nefesh, realized that it was about to be attacked, and it defended itself, and it was able to do a disconnect from the money before being grabbed. Because in this particular case, the nefesh was alert, and it jumped the gun, and it took steps to protect itself, not to be taken with that money. When the money was being taken, that it should not be taken with it. This is obviously a deep topic. Again, over there in Torah Samach Tes, Rabbeinu Zal discusses this at length. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moran. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins. Vehine onu royim shehatoyro choso al nefesh haloive ho'oni vadal shelova mechaveiroi ve'inoi l'shalim. We see that the Torah takes pity on a borrower, a person who got to such a level where they had to borrow from somebody and they don't have what to pay back. So now the lender comes to them and he's asking for collateral. Okay, you don't have the money right now. Give me something to hold on to until you get the money. V'hu muchruch lohoitzi miyodoi yeser hapleita. We're talking about a person who is so poor, he had to borrow, he doesn't have what to pay back, and now he's forced to take from the few things that he still owns in the world, his one couch or his three chairs, he's forced to take some of that metaltalin hanishonli, which he still has, shebohem tolui kol chiyusoi, where his whole life is in that. That's what he owns in the world. These 2.5 chairs and a used refrigerator and a this, that's all he has. Dahainu shoyresh nafshoy. This is the source of his soul. Shehu toloi bashirus. We said that the nefesh is dependent on and plugged into the ashirus. Vim yoitzi hakoil mitachas yodoi. And if this poor person will give everything away, if he'll give away his refrigerator, everything he owns, Yenechshav kemeis mamish, then it'll be like he's dead, like he's literally dead. Kihum mamish yitzias hanefesh, because that would be a case of his soul leaving him. Meachar shesharosho b'amolim, because we said before that the soul is rooted in money and in possessions. V'zeh shom rabbi senazal, this is why the Gemara says, oni choshev kemeis, that a poor person is considered like a corpse, like a dead person. Ki hanefesh shehi chiyus adam tluya bashirus, because the soul, the nefesh, which is the life of a person, is dependent on and attached to the wealth of the person, the possessions of the person. V'yafal pikein ze haloiva muchruch l'shalim kol ha'shaloi. However, this person who borrowed money, the bottom line is he has to pay it back from whatever he owns. So that he should not fall into that place where the Torah says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, that a Rasha is a person who borrows and doesn't pay back. So nobody wants to be in that kind of position. And for this reason, the Torah took pity on him. And the Torah commanded the lender, gave him all kinds of obligations to be careful how he treats this borrower, not to make him feel like a corpse, not to make him feel like a total piece of garbage. Kedei lehashir loy eze chiyus lanefesh, to leave him something, to leave him a little bit of something that his soul can cling to. Ki bevadai al piadin hoyeroi sheyotzi kol hasheloi adecholok, because it's definitely true that if you want to talk law legally, the guy should take his shirt off his back and give it to the lender. You borrowed money, you said, pay me. You don't have it, you should have gone to work. You didn't go to work, give me your shirt. I don't care what you give me. I want my money back. To return the money to the one he borrowed from. And let the borrower now go collect. Let him go collecting at doors. He doesn't have what to eat, go collect. That's not my problem. You borrowed money from me, give it back. However, the Torah had pity on this person who's down. And the Torah commanded the lender all kinds of laws, all kinds of guidance, to leave this person, to make sure you leave him something so that his soul has what to draw chiyus from, and so that he doesn't become like a corpse. Ki shoyresh hanefesh bahamomayim. Because we said again that the soul is rooted in money. So tampering with a person's money is tampering with his soul. Some people say, it's only money. It's not only money. Money is not a joke. Money is a very serious item. It can be done. A person can do some of the biggest things in life with money. You can buy tefillin. You can buy mezuzah. You can build a home, a Jewish home. And chas v'shalom, person can bury people. A person misuses the money. They behave improperly with money. They can do the worst damage to themselves and to Klal Yisrael, to the world. This is why one of the laws in the Torah is that you're not allowed, you cannot take as collateral the person's plates that he eats on. If he has one set of dishes that he eats from, you can't take that set of dishes as collateral. You can't take the things that he needs for oichel nefesh, for basic, the most basic eating requirements. Ki me'achar shehin smuchin lahanefesh, again, food is called oichel nefesh. That's the term. A person is, there's a pasuk, tzadik oichel l'soiva nafshoi. A person who eats like an animal, a person who eats double or triple what they need, they're feeding the body. They're, for them, eating is a physical experience. It's a materialistic experience. But a person who eats like a human being, a person who eats properly, their purpose in eating is to keep the body and soul together, to scotch tape them together. If you don't eat, you die. If you don't eat, the soul will not be not the body, neither the body or the soul will be able to function. You can't put on tefillin, you can't put on tzitzis if you don't eat for a few days. Person will die. So the eating is called oichel nefesh. Eating is also something that's related to the soul. Kimeachar shem smuchim la nefesh. Because of the fact that these utensils are close to the soul, Alkein hanefesh toluy bohem beyoser. Therefore, the soul is very much connected to them. People say person gets a set of dishes as a gift, a wedding gift, or so, or a person goes and buys a set of dishes, that kind of thing, and they feel an attachment to their dishes. Person says, "I like my," you know. There's a reason. It's not stam. Rav Nosson Zal is going to talk about this more. When a person likes something, or there's a soul connection. The word nefesh means desire in Hebrew. So when a person desires, if a person says, I don't like oatmeal, I don't like this cereal, I like that cereal, I don't like white bread, I only like it, it means that that person has a soul connection. The nefesh is drawn to that. That's a spiritual thing, that the soul, unless chas v'shalom, person says he's attracted to ice cream, you know, to physical pleasures, you know, to tanugim, you know, things, sweets and things like that, there it could be just a physical, a base desire. But we're talking within certain normal parameters. The fact that one person is drawn to a certain type of food and doesn't like another kind of food, and one person likes this, or a person drawn to a certain type of clothing, it means that there's a soul connection there. That's why the halacha says, if you have two foods in front of you, which one do you make and that you can make a bracha on this or this, which one do you make a bracha on? The one that you like. What does that have to do with anything? The answer is it does have to do with anything. The fact that you like this one more than the other one shows that there's a connection between your soul and that type of food. There's something that your soul can be completed better by that kind of food than by the other kind of food. And that food, you are one of the main people who has the ability to complete that food more so than another person who doesn't like it, who isn't attracted to it at all. So the reason why you're not allowed to take the person's dishes, things he uses for daily food, is because then you're taking the source of his nefesh. Because all the mitzvahs that the Torah gives a lender when dealing with a borrower with collateral, what it's really all about is making sure that you leave him his shoyrish anefesh. You don't cut him off. You don't kill him by cutting off his soul completely from its source. V'alkein, kol ma shesomuch yoyser lahanefesh. And therefore, whatever is closer to the soul, whatever has more of a connection to the soul, ubevadai hanefesh nishreshesh shom beyoyser, and that's why the soul is more attached to that, is more rooted to that, tzivso hatoyro lahaniach loy. The Torah has instructed you, don't take that as collateral. Don't touch that. We know, for example, a person will go into somebody's house, a neighbor will knock on the door and say, can I borrow this? Can I borrow salt? Can I borrow... Many cases, we'll say, gladly, I'll lend you this, lend you that. Can I borrow your broom? You know, can I borrow your broom, a ladder? Yeah, no problem. Can I borrow your dishes? That's another story. That's a whole different, you know. Again, we see that there's a different level of attachment, different level of connection to certain things that a person is more attached to, less attached to. And Rav Nosson Zal is explaining here that this is not gashmius. This is a nefesh. This, you know, there's a soul connection to these things. And this is why it's forbidden for the lender to go into the borrower's house to grab, to take, so that he shouldn't come upon him unexpectedly, and grab whatever he has. You can kill the person by doing that, because of the fact that the soul is rooted in money. But rather, let the borrower choose something and bring it out to you and say, okay, take this as collateral. So that the borrower can choose what he's giving to the lender, and leave for himself what he's most attached to. Let the borrower make that choice, what he's most attached to, what he doesn't want to give up so easily, and what he can give up more easily. And what he doesn't crave so much, what he doesn't need so much. And his soul is not as deeply attached. That he'll give as collateral. Obviously, we're talking about where it has value to it. We're not talking about where he'll give me used handkerchiefs or torn clothes where it has no value to it at all. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about both things. This is worth $200 and that's worth $200. In a case like that, the lender doesn't pick what he wants. If they both are really worth $200, let the borrower make that decision which thing he can release more easily. Listen to these words now. Because every single thing that a person desires, craves, and he needs it most, it's something that he uses every day, you know, something that he's very attached to, hanefesh mushreshe shom beyoyser. That means the soul is rooted, that person's soul is rooted in that thing more than in other possessions that he has. Vafilu im ein lahaloi vekiyim ze hamashkin lavad, and even if the borrower only has this one set of dishes, he don't have anything else to offer as collateral. Afal pikein betoich kach yuchal hanefesh lehizgaber uletzamtzei matzma shaloi chuoisa kedei shor lechiyus. Still, the soul has the ability to shrink it, to constrict itself, to defend itself, and hold on to that thing, not releasing it, not letting you take that away from it, which could kill it completely, which could result in destroying it completely. We'll continue from here, Mitzvah Shem. Hold it over here.